verse 24, Proverbs 17:17, and then John 15, verses 13 to 17. But don't worry, I'm sure they'll come up behind me. Okay, so the first reading, Proverbs 18, verse 24. One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Proverbs 17:17 says this, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. And then as we switch to the New Testament here, the words of the Lord Jesus, hours before he goes to the cross and dies, he's speaking to his disciples, John 15, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other. A problem well before March 2020 when, you know, lockdown and coronavirus all started. There was a study carried out in Britain pre-lockdown in 2019. Here's what it said. 9 in 10 people between the ages of 18 and 24 suffered from loneliness to some degree, and nearly half had difficulty making friends. And so loneliness was a problem before lockdown, and lockdown has made it worse. It's aggravated it, because when it was a strict lockdown, we're all in our houses, weren't we? And not getting out, not seeing people. How do we respond to this epidemic of loneliness as a church and as Christians? What do we think about that? How do we think about friendship and loneliness? I mean, if you are looking into Christian things, does Christianity speak into this issue of loneliness, which is a massive one for us at the moment? And thankfully, our Heavenly Father hasn't left us guessing, because throughout the Bible, he speaks about friendship. We just saw some of the verses, not all the verses talk about friendship in the Bible, but some of them on the screen. And today what we're going to be doing is looking at the Old Testament book of Proverbs, dotting around it, so the Bible verses should come up behind me. But talk about friendship from the Old Testament book of Proverbs. And as we look at Proverbs, we need to perhaps change our thinking a little bit, because often we wonder to ourselves, who's going to be a good friend to me? Who's going to satisfy my loneliness issue? However, when we become followers of the Lord Jesus, it begins a process of turning our eyes out away from ourselves to others, because the Lord Jesus was completely other-centered, so that we focus on others. So as we read the Proverbs, and if you are a Christian, can I encourage you to be thinking not of how can other people be good friends to me, but how can I be a good friend to others? So first, good friends stick close. Good friends stick close. In this broken world, we're all going to go through hard times, whether that's lockdown, coronavirus, or whatever. And it's in those times when we need our good friends to step up, don't we? However hard times will reveal the quality of our friends. This is what Proverbs 18, verse 24 says. One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. So not all friends are equal, and not all friends are quality friends. So they're not the same quality. Some friends are unreliable. Some people who you might call friends are maybe unreliable, so that when we need them most, they actually go missing. And that's why someone with unreliable friends comes to ruin. Their friends who are unreliable, in their hour of need, they go AWOL, they just go missing. And in their hour of need, no one is there for them, and so they come to ruin. However, there is a friend who can stick to you like glue, and they are gold dust. And one of the closest bonds of things we know is a bond of family. And yet this friend sticks closer than any brother or any sister. That's remarkable, isn't it? That's true friendship. And Proverbs 17:17 sort of picks up that theme of friends sticking close when the going gets tough. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. You know, the love of a good friend, if a friend is a good friend, according to God's word, their friendship is consistent. They love us when, and they're there for us when life is easy, but also when life gets really, really hard and difficult. And in fact, the verse suggests that good friends seem to come into their own when we go through adversity. They are gold dust. A brother is born for a time of adversity. And as we reflect on the Lord Jesus, isn't that the kind of friend the Lord Jesus was? The Lord Jesus called Mary and Martha and Lazarus his friends. And when Lazarus died, the Lord Jesus traveled 3 days to comfort Mary and Martha in their grief. Yes, he had a bigger purpose to raise Lazarus from the dead and go to the cross, but he was also there comforting his friends in their grief. And so if we want to be a good friend to others, then we are to show this Christ-like love. If we want to fight this epidemic of loneliness, which is probably here in the church as well as out there, we need to be good friends to others, showing this Christ-like love to others. That's really difficult to do, isn't it? When life gets difficult for a friend, we feel just uncomfortable, don't we? We have a tendency, when life gets difficult for a friend, to maybe move away, because it's really hard sometimes to lean in to the suffering and hurts of friends, because we think to ourselves, we don't know what to say. What if we say the wrong thing? And I can remember a great example of someone who embodied this idea of a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for a time of adversity. It's a church I used to belong to a number of years ago, and a lady's husband was killed unexpectedly. And a friend of this lady, instead of staying away, just went to a house when it happened and simply sat on the stairs and cried with her. Now that is Proverbs 17:17 in action, isn't it? A friend loves at all times, and a brother or sister is born for time of adversity. So as we listen to God's word, and as we're outwardly thinking of others, how can I be a good friend to others? You might be thinking of a friend who's going through a difficult time at the moment. Is there something you could do? Obviously praying for them, but could you visit them? Could you invite them around for a meal or go for a walk with them? Could you be Christ-like, taking the initiative to go and be with them? You know, good friends stick close. Second, good friends are godly. Again, Proverbs doesn't make the mistake of saying that all friendship is good. It teaches us to discern with the friends we make. Just have a look at Proverbs 12, verse 26. The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. And so the righteous is another way of talking about those God the Father has made right with him. So in the Old Testament, you talk about believers, and today we'd say Christians. And Christians should choose their friends carefully. Well, why? Because our friends will exercise a lot of influence over us, whether that's for good or for bad. And we can see this bad influence in Proverbs 22 and verses 24 to 25. This is what it says. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared. I'm sure you've heard that dogs often look like their owners. In a similar way, the Bible says we will look like our friends. If he says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. So if we walk through life with a wise friend or wise friends, that wisdom will rub off and we too will become wise. And so I don't know whether many people were here last week. Remember last week that in Proverbs, wisdom is different from intelligence. So in the book of Proverbs, wisdom is the ability to see and the inclination to choose the right or best course of action. The ability to see and the inclination to choose the right or best course of action. So in other words, it means seeing and choosing to live God's way in God's world. You know, to be wise is to be godly. And if we want to be a good friend to others, then we should desire to grow in godliness. You know, if we're thinking to ourselves, not who's going to be a good friend to me, but how am I going to be a good friend to others, we need to be growing in godliness. And as we read God's word, the Bible, it'll encourage us to fight the sins we struggle with, such as a quick temper or something like that. And it will also encourage us to live godly lives. I don't know about you, but I often think to myself that whether I live a godly life or not only affects me. But I wonder whether that's just an individualistic Western mindset speaking. It's not the mindset of the Bible, because my life impacts those who are close to me. So if I strive to live a wise and a godly life, it'll have a positive impact on those around me. But if I give up in my battle against sin and live an unwise and ungodly life, that will have a negative impact on the friends around me. So if we want to be good friends to others, then we need to strive in the strength of the Lord Jesus to be godly. And perhaps that this is a word in season for some of us, because perhaps we've given up fighting against particular sins in our lives. Maybe lockdown has seen new sins arise in us. I mean, I wonder what the impact of lockdown will be on our godliness. You know, is that something that is convicting to you? But it's also worth looking at from the other side. We're thinking about our godliness, but it's also worth looking at the other side. Because our Heavenly Father wants to encourage us to choose our friends wisely. He wants us to be wise and godly in this life. And so that means choosing our friends wisely. Here's what a Christian writer said. I've been reading this week. This is what he said. Because of the significant effects that friends produce in those who are close to them, to a large degree, the friends we choose determine what kind of people we become. Consequently, we must choose our friends wisely, for in choosing them, we are likely choosing our future. Consequently, we must choose our friends wisely, because for in choosing them, we are likely choosing our own future. So as you look at your friends, those who you're close to, are they leading you astray? Are they the hot-tempered person where you might be that ungodliness is rubbing off on you? Or are they helping you grow in wisdom? One application of so might be that as you think about your friends, that you might maybe slightly detach from one or two of them, because they are not helping you, if you're a Christian, leading a godly life. Good friends are godly. Third, good friends speak into the lives of others. You know, if we want to be a good friend, then we'll be speaking God's wisdom, you know, the Bible, into the lives of our friends. And that's what Proverbs 27 verse 9 talks about. So perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. I don't normally frequent the perfume section in department stores, but I remember walking. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. I'm not sure we actually believe this proverb. I think we think it's the opposite way around. We think that a friend multiplies kisses. Oh, you're so great. I love you so much, which obviously, you know, people will say if they're good friends, but also only say that. But an enemy will wound us. We think that's in our lives, we think that's the case. But God says it's the opposite way around. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Because you see, good friends, godly friends, often know us best, don't they? They can see the faults and sinful habits we're blind to, and they know that it's not loving just to ignore them. And so in the right way, they point them out to us, and they wound us in order to heal us. An enemy, on the other hand, doesn't care. They don't really care for us, don't care for our godliness. And so they just simply shower us with kisses. And so Proverbs 27 verse 6, someone has paraphrased it like this. A good friend stabs you in the front. A good friend stabs you in the front. If we're British, then we'll need to recognise that our cultural upbringing might be at odds with biblical wisdom, because British people love to be nice, don't we? If you're British, we all love to be nice. I often hear people coming to Britain and saying, if I bump into a British person, they turn around and say sorry, even if it's my fault. And on top of this, British culture teaches us that someone's private life is private. It's a no-go zone. Don't go there. But if we're Christians, we need to be less British and more Christ-like. And that will mean speaking to the lives of Christian friends if we see them leading ungodly lives on a consistent basis. Now, of course, we've got to be careful, because having a conversation with a friend about a way in which they're living needs to be done in the right way. Because the right thing said in the wrong way or at the wrong time can be extremely hurtful or counterproductive. I mean, I think Christians are on a scale. Some people fall on this side and they just don't want to say anything. And other people just love a fight and love a confrontation. And if you know you're on that side of the thing, of loving a confrontation, you've got to maybe be encouraged to be gentle. Because if we're going to wound our friends, then we need to choose our moments, and we need to be gentle, don't we? But some of us fall into the category of never wanting to rock the boat at all, to be nice. We avoid conflict at all costs. And so we need to hear God's word, which says that avoiding conflict is not what a good friend does, and we need to repent. And if we surrounded ourselves with good and godly friends, then we should expect times when they'll speak into our lives to correct us. And in those times, it will feel painful, and it will feel, actually, this isn't what a good friend does. It will feel counterintuitive, but actually, God's word says that we can trust the wounds that they give us. If we never get wounded by our friends, there are probably only two possibilities. One, we don't have very, very good friends, very godly friends. Or two, we've reacted badly in the past when our good friends have spoken into our lives and we've put them off from doing it again. And so the next time a Christian friend maybe sits you down and gently, maybe slightly breathlessly because they're nervous, points out something in your life that isn't according to the Bible, remind yourself that although it hurts, these wounds can be trusted. And also remind yourself how you react to that friend will either encourage them to keep doing that or discourage them to keep doing that. And our Heavenly Father is saying we need to be able to be wounded by our friends, to say, thank you, I'll try and go away and think about that and pray about it. Fourth, good friends are small pictures of Jesus. Good friends are small pictures of Jesus. We've been looking at how Proverbs describes good friends. And as we've read these Proverbs, perhaps we thought of people who've embodied these things. They've been good friends to us, and we're so pleased they're in our lives. We're so pleased that they are our friends. And actually, these good friends are only a small picture of the Lord Jesus, the greatest friend. Good friends stick close to us. They stick closer than a brother. The Lord Jesus sticks closer to believers. He says that no matter what we're going through, he will never leave us nor forsake us. Good friends are godly, and yet there's never been a man like the Lord Jesus. Throughout his 33 years of life here on earth, he never sinned. And more than that, he was a perfect model of positive godliness. He did everything right. He never sinned. Positively, he did everything right. Good friends speak into the lives of others. And Jesus' heartfelt advice is very pleasant, but he doesn't always flatter us, does he? He's prepared to wound us in order to make us more like him. In fact, sometimes he uses other brothers and sisters, other Christians, to wound us in order to make us more like him. But when he wounds us, as we read the Gospels and we read the Bible, he does so lovingly and gently. He always does the right thing in the right way. Good friends are just a small picture of the good friend, the Lord Jesus Christ. But how is it possible that this perfect man would want to be friends with people like us, people who've ignored him, pushed him out of our lives, rebels against his heavenly Father. I didn't grow up a Christian, so for 11 years until I became a Christian, I just simply ignored Jesus and ignored God in my life, treated him as he didn't exist. And you know what? In my personally speaking, if someone consistently cuts me dead for 11 years, and that person never ends up being my friend. However, the Lord Jesus is not gloriously, it's not like me, and it's not like us. Because out of his great love, he chose that he would transform his enemies, those who ignored him, into his friends. And in order to do that, he needed to deal with that broken relationship between us and himself, us and God the Father. I'm sure most of us have had a falling out at some point, but when people have a falling out, then friendship cannot come back together, reconciliation cannot happen until the issue that caused the falling out has been addressed. And the offended party needs to forgive the person who's done them wrong. So in order for us to become God's friends, he needs to forgive us for ignoring him and cutting him dead. And that's what happens on the cross. God the Son, the Lord Jesus, paid for all the times we've ignored and rebelled God, lived in God's world, enjoyed God's blessings, and yet ignored him, not done what he said. And that means that anyone who comes to the Lord Jesus can be forgiven. And we move from this camp of being an enemy of God, being antagonistic to God, to being his friend. And that is the love that the Lord Jesus showed us on the cross. Just listen to what he said hours before his death. I wonder what you would be thinking as before your death if you knew it was coming. This is what the Lord Jesus says. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I've made known to you. Now that's an honor, isn't it? The Lord Jesus calling his followers my friends. That is simply stunning, isn't it? If you're someone who's looking into Christianity, then the Bible would say that your deepest need is not to add more human friends, but it's to become a friend of the Lord Jesus. And that is the root of loneliness. The root of loneliness is a broken relationship with the God who made us and the God who loves us. And it's easy for people to assume that God must be automatically on their side. I don't know whether that's what you think. As I come across people who aren't Christians, they just think automatically, well, God must be on my side. God must love me. God must accept me. But the Bible says that we are all enemies of God because we've lived in this world but ignored him. And to become a friend of Jesus, God will need to forgive those relational offenses against him. We need to be sorry for them, and God needs to forgive them. And that can only happen if we come to the cross of the Lord Jesus and ask for forgiveness. If you're a Christian, then as you've listened maybe to the early parts of this sermon, apart from this point, I'm sure many of us will be convicted of how we've been failed to be good friends to others. I have. Yeah, we've not stuck close. We've abandoned people when they've needed us most. We've not been godly. We've not spoken into lives of others. We've been conflict averse. And the cross is a great place for failures like us, failures who are friends of Jesus, to return to when we feel like this, because we can come back to the cross time and time again when we fail to be a good friend to others and receive the forgiveness we need because the Lord Jesus has paid for it. And the cross doesn't just take away our guilt. It also helps us to change, because as we look and as we think about the Son of God selflessly dying on the cross in order to transform enemies into friends, as Christians, that should transform our hearts too. Because as we reflect on this, it should motivate us to selflessly lay down our lives for others in friendship, because our Savior, the Lord Jesus, did that for us. And the same Holy Spirit that was in Jesus also lives in Christians, and he empowers us to change. Good friends are small pictures of the wonderful friend, the Lord Jesus. So as we close, how will God's word make a difference to us this week? What's it going to look like for you this week? As you look ahead, Monday onwards, what's it going to look like for you? It may be this week you lean into a friend who is suffering rather than shying away, because good friends stick close like the Lord Jesus. It may be that this week you pray to your Heavenly Father to help you re-enter the battle against sin in your life, or to help you grow in godly character, because good friends are godly like the Lord Jesus. And maybe this week you grab a coffee with someone so that maybe you can speak into their lives, whether that's heartfelt advice or maybe correction, because good friends speak into the lives of others like the Lord Jesus. And be encouraged, when you fail to be a good friend, and we'll all fail to be good friends, maybe even this week, the Lord Jesus will be there to forgive us, to set us back on our feet, and to give us the strength to go again. And the great encouragement is, when we fail, it's a great reminder of what Jesus is not like. He is like the best friend, the greatest friend, who's not like us and never fails us. So as we come towards the end, let's pray and respond to our Heavenly Father. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you that whilst we were still your enemies, your own precious Son died for us. Father, thank you. Thank you that his death transformed us, those who trust in him, from your enemies to your friends. Father, what a privilege for Jesus to call us his friends. Father, we rejoice in that, and we adore you and thank you for that. But as we reflect on the cross, would you be changing us so that we become more like Jesus and being selfless friends to others? Thank you, there is forgiveness when we fail, but we pray that you wouldn't leave us where we are. We pray that by your Spirit and by your gospel, you would transform us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing in response. And the song we're going to sing is "Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me." We can't do this naturally, you know, be good friends to others. We need the Lord Jesus. And so let's sing this just as a recognition that we're dependent on him to be good friends, because he is the greatest friend. So please do stand and sing.